Mr. Pullen, reel 18.
Did you recover him?
No, never recovered him. There was plenty of things like that happened, you know, on board, see.
Any other examples you can think of?
Well, Monday mornings was the Evolutions. That was the clear ship friend. And that was the morning that all these accidents would happen. Now, everything, Sunday afternoons, the watch on board would have to be getting all the wires and stuff all ready, you see. Mm. And in the morning, Monday morning, we'd all fall in and clean duck suits. And the whole fleet now was the Evolution, see. You wouldn't know what was going up. See, all at once a signal go up, clear ship for action, or outlet defense, and, or well, wire laws, or anything that might be interfering with the war, you know.
When these Evolutions were going on, were you competing with other British ships?
Were we what?
Were you competing with other British ships?
Oh yes. That was the doing, I think. That happened every week.
Now, how was the sort of competition organized?
Well, the signals would go up, you see. Certain ships, they got their nets in first, see. So we might be last, or we might be third, you see. And I know our commander, he said if we could get our nets in quicker than the remainder of them, we'd have another half a day making men. That would be about five half a days a week. Then, of course, we go ashore, you know, in Malta. And Malta was a home for sailors. Mm.
What if you didn't get it in first? Would he make you practice harder?
Well, we used to practice it. We could only practice it on the actual days the Evolution took place. Mm-hmm. You couldn't practice it any other way, but you could work it out in theory, how to get those nets in and out quick. Mm.
When you were in the Mediterranean station at this time, was most of the training battle training?
Oh, yes. It was? All battle training. All of it was battle training. Loading machines, you know. A loading machine, that was like a imitation of a gun's bridge, we'll say, see. Well, men get up there overnight time practicing, putting a 6-inch projectile through the loading machine, see.
Did you have any other duties apart from battle training duties?
Mustering our bags and airing the bedding.
Now, when you were on the Mediterranean station, did you spend much time in the mess decks?
Well, not exactly. You'd go over there for your meals, and you'd do most of your time on the upper deck because of the heat. Rather warm out there, you know, see? And nothing much, really, no more than you stand up round there in groups, talking, and round the spit kit, you know, see?
Where did you sleep?
Oh, on the same deck, on the mess deck.
What, when you were in the Mediterranean, you still slept down below?
Yes, you could if you like. We have, some of us, laid our hammocks up on the upper deck. Laid on the upper deck, you know, so you just spread them out, you know. But it's usually slinging them on the mess deck. Where our messes was, where your messes were, you used your hammocks up on that part.
Did you do many long cruises when you were in the Mediterranean?
Yes, we used to cruise round to Sicily and up as far as the Dardanelles. We'd do a cruise for about 3 months. Then we'd come back to Malta. That was our home station then, see? And they give us 72-hour general leave. Well, if you had any money, you could go ashore and have a do, you know, there's always a piano and a violin in the pubs going, look, see? Some of the pubs have such funny names, too. That one, the Old Dun Cow. Another one said, when the don't put the lights out with the cockerel. Some silly thing like that, you know, see. And our Daiso was out there. Funny names there, Bubbly Joe and things like that, you see. And if we had the money, we would take a gharry. That was a sort of awesome trap, you know. Two men could sit there and two sit here, see. The old driver up there. And he'd drive us to a place called City of Vicha, but we used to call it Shivery Wick.
What was it called?
City of Vicha. That was just outside of Malta.
City of Vicha.
City of Vicha.
How'd you spell that?
I suppose it was C-I-T-Y of Vicha, V-I-T-C-H-A, I suppose. See? But we used to call it Shivery Wick. And at one time, of course, I was a Wesleyan, and the old Wesleyan clergyman come on board the Swift Shore, asked me if I could get a crowd of men to take a trip to City of Vicha, you see, Shivery Wick, and I'd break out in from a play called Florian. Well, I selected about 11 second-in-second men. Wasn't allowed ashore in about every 6 months. And before we got to Shivery Wick, I lost all those men. They was in the pubs getting drunk. But we mustered them around afterwards when we got back. They were all there, and I marched them on board quite all right.
What was at the City of Vicha? Was that a meeting place?
Yes, it was a place where St. Paul was wrecked there, you know. They got a monument erected to him there. And we used to do a bit of bathing in that, see. Nice place for bathing.
These men, you said, were second in second.
Second in second, they called them, see.
What did that mean?
Well, they were bad characters, and they wasn't allowed ashore only about once in 6 months. You see, they had the different people like that. One time I was what they call general leave. I was only allowed ashore once a month through breaking my leave. It was accidental, but didn't intend to do it. Got the wrong train and then didn't get a letter from the station master, see? So I had general leave instead of sales. Leave breaking was was almost as bad as mutiny on board. Man who broke his leave, he was always put down as a bit of a character, like, you know. I don't know why, I'm sure.
So there was general leave, and that was once every month. There was second in second.
Second, 6 months.
Were there any other kinds of leaves?
No, not as I know of.
I see. Right. What was life like in Malta for sailors?
Oh, wonderful for sailors. Cheap to live, you know, see? You could always have nine different things put in front of you for about 2 shillings, you see? And, but we always had to be very careful when they had this obligado business on, you know, going through the Christ life. You ever see it on television?
This was a local festival.
A local festival, see, for the Roman Catholics. And another time when we was going to Shivery Wick, we stopped at what they call the Mustard Dome. That's the third largest dome in the world, they tell me. And they keeps the mitres in the robes of the popes that have died, you know. Pope Pius II, Pope so-and-so, is he? And we saw things like that. They'd take them out of the glass case and show them to you they belong to, see? And then we'd carry on our journey now to Shivery Wick. Spend the day there, you know, see? Wasn't much, only the water there you could swim, you know, in that, see? And it was a place where, they say, where St. Paul was supposed to have been wrecked.
Apart from Shivery Wick, were there any other places in Malta that sailors used to meet at?
No, only on just ordinary shore, like in the Grand Harbour. All the men used to gather there, you know, and in a pub called the Flagship, that was run by an Austrian Austrian general. And Mrs. Flagship used to provide handkerchiefs, you know. And a Saturday night, sailors ashore would dance with her, you know, see, with these tiddly handkerchiefs on. So it was a home for home in a way, like, see. As I say, you could always live cheap there, and there was always plenty of music.
There were rest homes in Malta as well?
No, I can't remember ever seeing a home for sailors.
So you'd never spend a night ashore?
No, always spend a night ashore, but you'd book up in some house, you know, see? Always go to any house, they put you up, see, for the night.
This would be bed and breakfast in people's homes?
Oh, yes, if you could. But we never used to like eating there. They used to use so much garlic. You could always smell all the girls with garlic, you know, see? And some of our fellows married a lot of those girls, you know?
Were British sailors popular with the Maltese?
Oh, yes. Oh, lovers, they were the most friendliest people in the world, nearly. The difference what it is now, I think, with them now. They got old Mint off there.
So the Maltese would take good care of you?
Yeah, we lost a lot there, you know, because sailors used to like Malta. I don't think they ever grieved about Malta. It was always warm, and it was there was always plenty to eat, and if it was any goat, it didn't much matter, you know, see? They used to cook a goat for mutton, you know, see? But I know we always get a good meal there cheap.
Right. Do you know anything about the bumboys in Malta?
Oh, the bumboat people?
Yes.
No more than they used to run the dice hoes, you know, see? They were the dice hoes chaps.
What did they do?
Row you backwards to shore, back to the ship, see? Another thing, too, a woman used to come on board with her son, take our washing ashore for a couple of coppers, you know, she'd wash our hammocks and pick our bedding, and, you know, we had horsehair beds, and they'd pick these horsehair beds and bring them back to you, and nice, ready to sleep on. This was really, I suppose, the best place in the world for sailors.
Do you know how the food was supplied to the ships when you were in Malta?
The food?
Yes.
It's the same sort of food as we always had, you know, meat and potatoes. As I say, we always had to buy our own vegetables, butter or margarine, whatever it was, you see. Or mostly we used to buy a toro, you know, for making our duff with, you see. That's a kind of a suet in the boxes.
Did you take part in any regattas when you were in Malta?
Oh, yes. I done boat pulling. And
describe for me, when you had a regatta day in Malta, start at the beginning of the day and tell me about the whole day's regattas and the whole day's events. What would happen?
Well, let's take the sporting business first. We'd go up I suppose they used to call it the Martha. We used to take our field guns up there, you know, and go through all the business that was in gunnery, see? And I remember one time one gunnery officer ran us all down over these hills, you know, and as we was turning corners, them guns would nearly turn over with speed. You couldn't stop them. Trying to get the men with the drag ropes to go to the back to put the brakes on, you know, couldn't do it. That was one nasty time. Another time...